Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me, the leader of HVU Insider, that's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing good, Jim. Coming off a great weekend. Family coming back and being without him, just working on some things with HVU. And, this past weekend I actually got to come up and test out the food that you always talk about. And I'll let the audience know Jim is the real deal. Him and his wife was able to make this whole spread. And it was just like I was back in Youngstown at my grandparents' house holiday festivity or something. It was awesome, Jim. I appreciate you, but you are the real deal. Even though the wings, I still have the wings that you talk about.
Biggest screw. Okay, when you have these events, and this is a family event, my family, her family, friends over, there's always a major screw up somewhere, and I am totally and completely responsible for that screw up. I've been bragging to you since I met you how I could make wings, the best wings. And I forgot that we had so much food going, so much in the oven. And so I forgot the wings. Now, for every dark cloud, Mike, there's a silver lining. This silver lining is I still have all the wings here for me.
Yeah. Maybe I'll make the drive back up and grab some. Just thanks again for having me there. It was awesome meeting you and the family. It was really cool.
Well, it was great to have you. And I got to tell you, I think you made a new buddy with my golfing buddy, Craig.
Great. Yeah. I'm going to make it out there and golf with you guys, hopefully. And he seems like an awesome guy to golf with. And he brought the cheesesteak, and I texted you last night, man, like, the time of year, and I'll go into, like, kind of what's going on in the office here later, but this is the time of year where, like, usually coaches and people and the staff, and they kind of get their diet together because they know they're, like, locked down here for the next five months, 6 months, whatever it is, and so they kind of get it going. So the cheesesteak, I'm like, well, this isn't start my diet well, but it was amazing. What was the place? I was trying to tell my wife where it's from. Like it's a local shop.
Yep. You go into Berwick, and this is no advertising connection or anything, called Chicatano's, believe it or not, you know, an Italian place in Berwick where it's a pizza place. But they also make desserts, and they make phenomenal ones. So my buddy Craig in Berwick, he wanted to make a contribution to the party. He was originally supposed to just bring an orange creamsicle cheesecake, okay?
Yeah.
And they somehow messed up the order. And in the end, instead of bringing one, he brought all these different flavors. You know, they're kind of like pies and cheesecake. And I don't know how many he brought over. My refrigerator. Can you imagine this week I'm going to have, Mike? There's still like about six of them left in my refrigerator.
Yeah, and so this is funny for your audience because I don't know. I thought we were really true. Berwick and Youngstown were truly similar. And then I saw the green one, and I'm like, oh, that's pistachio. So like, my family would make a kind of. It's not a cheesecake, but it's like a pudding type of. Yeah. It looks like a cheesecake, but it's called pistachio, and it's just one of my favorites growing up. So I saw it. I'm like, oh, is that pistachio? So I'm curious to see if anybody in the audience, they'll message you and let you know if they know what that pistachio is, the green pudding kind. But it was amazing. And Craig, we really hit off because I was telling him how my grandfather, who's like a dad to me, you know, his last name was Klochak. And, you know, we're talking about pierogies. I'm like, I was telling my wife how I might get a homemade pierogi maker. So, yeah, it was a great time talking pierogies, talking food, culture, all that stuff. It was awesome. Yeah, so Craig's my guy.
Well Craig, he'll be listening to the show. His last name is Lanowski, belongs to the Ukrainian church in Berwick. And I think he told you, they'll do a thing where they make pierogies. And just it's incredible, the homemade pierogies, and he's there helped make them, and he told you the story is even the people working there, you're only allowed to buy like four or five dozen because they need, and they sell out every time they do it. They completely sell out. If you wait too late in the day, you don't get them.
Amazing to have an app on it. I'm interested because I'm kind of picky with my pierogies because I like my pierogies just a little bit burnt. Not like burnt, but I like a little bit crispy. And you never know, it's hit or miss wherever you go and get them. But I'm looking forward to coming up there to get some pierogies.
Well, that's the why you got to put the pierogies in the pan and, you know, get that crispiness on each side. I'm with you on that. And then we talk kibasi, and we've got some great kibasi places here. And the one I remind me before I come out to say college next time, I'll make a stop and I'll get you where they have the hot pepper cheese infused into the kibasi.
Yeah, I would love it. The one that my grandmother used to always make, it was kibasi. She always made kibasi, but it was always with sauerkraut. It was something about it. Maybe it was just because it's your grandparents, but it was something about it. It was just always different. And then we tried to get it. My wife has a recipe. It's basically just a ton of paprika. I don't know. It's still to this day, I love some sauerkraut kibasi.
Well, you know, there's always, first of all, your grandmother is the greatest cook in the world. Not just yours, mine, grandmothers, they just have the, so, and it's like we were raised, our spaghetti sauce, like basil flavor was the, you know, the great flavor there. But my grandmother, it was like, should tell you how to make something, and it would never come out the same as hers, okay? And eventually I found out the key was when she shared the recipe, she didn't share everything. She'd leave something out, but
that's only in her will.
That's right. Well, I should have shown you, I have to go find it. After my grandmother passed away, my aunt inherited, the recipe book, my aunt who lived with her and of course made the food with her. But they did put all the recipes into a spiral notebook, handwritten, and I inherited that notebook. And the pages in it will literally crack if you bend the pages.
Yeah.
So I have scanned that notebook, okay? I have all those recipes electronic. And my aunt, before she passed away, told me, I am allowed to share the recipes internally with family. I am not allowed to share it with outsiders, though. Which I thought was interesting. So that was our event over the weekend. You got to come to a Galante get together, which I really appreciate you coming in. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, Mike contributed lots of swag. He'd bring a couple shirts. He brings this big pile of shirts, and here I've got all these folks from New Jersey who aren't necessarily Penn Staters, but you know what? They grabbed the shirts. They were happy to have them, Mike. So I did them out. They appreciated them. But I tell you what, that wasn't the only event we were together for this past week. See, this is my way to segue, because I'm sure we're finally reaching the point where our listeners are bored with us talking about food. But we had another event at Pine Grove Hall, and I don't know if our listeners are getting tired of us talking about it, but it seems like every single time it gets better. It's a great event. We say this is the best, and the next time it gets even better. We had seven football players there. We had Taylor Mauser there, the offensive coordinator, and the place was packed. It was filled up with folks. Just an absolutely great event, Mike.
Yeah, just the sixth one that we did. We started maybe in March, and we've had one or two maybe every month. And after each one, we've kind of gone back as a group and just talked about, you know, what can we make it? How can we make it better and a little smoother with everybody? And, you know, we have somebody from Pine Grove on the calls, and, you know, we have you and Chris and, you know, some other guys on there that help with the logistics. And it just felt like it's at the point, well, man, this is great. This is everything's a good buzz. It's very relaxed. We stayed on time, which was great. I think that was kind of a battle. But yeah, staying on time, you know, it was like a good two and a half hour window where we squeezed in meet and greets with the players. We were able to take pictures and sign our autographs for the fans and the guests there. And then, you know, from there, we, you know, the guests were able to have dinner with the players, which that goes a long way. Which I think is a really cool experience that we're allowed to give, bring and give the opportunity to these fans, because they really get to know the players, you know, not just like a, hey, how are you doing? It's a, you really get to know them. And like I always say, these kind of events make you feel so much more closer to them when they make a big play for Marshall. You know, it feels like you're, they're one of your friends, and it makes you root for them more. So if that's like the only thing that we bring to the table when we do these events, I think, it does it justice, because that I think that connection, that fan and the player and that the Penn State logo, all that together is powerful. But yeah, so that they were able to eat, and then we had a couple guys on stage, and you interviewed them with Chris Buchanani, and as always, you guys do a great job making it pretty funny, but also informational. Yeah, so we had Gabe Burkle up there along with some other guys. Gabe is pretty cool, because I mean, he's like, he's married, right? Like, he's an old man already. He's like a vet, like a lot of these guys on our team right now. But yeah, he was awesome. And then, you know, after that, David Mauser is awesome. As people get to know him, I think he, you know, prior to the season, and they're starting to get going, he's really, him and all the other coaches have put them outside to the media to get to know them. And he's the same person. He's super humble, super cool. I thought some of the things Gabe Burkle talked about, his coaching style, was more of a hockey coaching style versus a football coaching style. I've never heard that before. And as he elaborated that, I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. And then you watch the interview and you're like, oh, that makes sense. This guy's a player's coach. He's younger. He's super motivated. He's already got an impressive, really, really impressive resume for a younger guy. Has always been with Coach Campbell. The insight he gave us on Coach Campbell, I thought, was really interesting. It's just it's pretty consistent with everything you hear, you know, from the get-go since Coach Campbell came on board. But yeah, that was great. Then we auctioned off a couple things. Had some cool bags for everybody. So yeah, great event. And just be on the lookout in the future what we're going to be doing.
We got a lot more to do. Yes, a lot more coming. And I got a lot more to talk to you about right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at Happy Valley United. This is quarter number two of our show. Mike, we spent first quarter, talking about some food, which is always a good topic for you and I.
And we, you know, also, Chris, I'm sorry, Jim. You called me Chris earlier. So, you know what's interesting about the audience? So the audience who's listening to this, they probably understand what we're talking about. They're in the regions of,
oh yeah,
you know, the pierogi, the Italian regions, like all of that. Like I'm sure they're gonna get a kick, and I'm excited to see if any of the fans have any, or anybody in the audience agrees with me how they should have the pierogi. So I'll be looking forward to hearing that from you.
Well, I think you're 100% right on the pierogies. You really are. Number one. Number two, you're also right with our listeners. And I've gotten reaction on this stuff before, or when we go to tailgates and people come in, or we visit tailgates next to us. Yeah, any of the you're in Pennsylvania, you're from Ohio, the ethnic things, you and I share that background of some Italian background and also some Eastern European background, which, yes, we'll be striking a chord with a lot of our listeners, I'm sure. I want to get back to this event we had last week and talking to the players and go over a few of the things they shared with us. One of the things, again, I repeat this, you and I, we love our tight ends. We love the position, typically love the guys there. Penn State, I'm calling it tight end university now. We've had such a great streak of tight ends, and I'm convinced that's going to continue this year between Rapillier, Ben Bramer, Gabe Burkle, who we had on. And do you realize, Mike, this is the second tight end who, when we've talked about different formations, different sets, this is the second tight end coming from Iowa State who has mentioned having a four tight end set out there. Who does? Yeah, who has four tight ends out on the field?
Yeah, he was funny talking about how, like, man, we might have four tight ends out there, and then like, we may split out wide. And I think I talked about it in a segment last show about how, like, that's tough on defenses and defensive coordinators when you have those guys that can split out and could be a mismatch and aren't just a blocking tight end. You know, that can actually get separation for some of those DBs that are, you know, half their size, which is big. I think I saw a clip of Burkle last year making this, like, unbelievable 50-50 catch when he was with Iowa State. And remember, I always forget, you know, Bramer and Gabe, they were the leading receivers last year for Iowa State. So I don't think it's just like talk that they're going to utilize the tight end. I think they're going to continue utilizing the tight end, and it's pretty cool. And you mentioned it in the interview that, you know, it's pretty cool. Like, he made it, Coach Mauser said he didn't want to come here and just be a floater, like an offensive coordinator. He mentioned that, you know, Coach Campbell put that on his up front of him, said, "Hey, how do you want to do it?" And he's like, "There's no way I cannot take the opportunity to coach at Penn State, and especially the tight end room, just with its history, especially as of recent." So yeah, it's just going to continue. Both of those guys are NFL type prospects, and then you have Rappi, which was funny because I didn't talk to him about Rapp, but how he explained Rapp is how I told you who he reminds me of, and that's yep. Jeremy Shockey.
Jeremy Shockey. Yep.
So that just reinforced what I was feeling and how I kind of view Rapp. But then he mentioned everybody. He mentioned Brian Kordovich, right, who's going to be the redshirt freshman that came in last year. Cooper Alexander, transfer tight end, is very talented. He was one of the first guys he mentioned too. And then Finn Fermanak, one of the local kids. He mentioned all of those guys. I think they said, I don't know, it's like seven deep, he said. Like, I think he feels really comfortable with all those guys. So, yeah, moving forward, that's one of our stronger rooms, obviously. And I think what makes it even better is that the offensive coordinator is that tight end centric, and he's the tight ends coach. And I believe he was the tight ends coach of the year, if not last year, the year before that too. So we have somebody really special in that room. We have is coaching the room, the offensive coordinator. And everything you're hearing from these players about Coach Mauser is very positive, and you would think it's going to translate to the field this season.
I believe so too. And we'll talk more about what Coach Mauser had to say. But with Gabe Burkle, I found it interesting. I had in my notes to ask him about the fact that the offensive coordinator was also his position coach. Did he like that? Because, you know, hey, the offensive coordinator is probably going to emphasize the tight end position. Lo and behold, Burkle, he brought that up before I could even ask him about that, which I found interesting. But the other thing, common thread I found through these conversations, and I had this talk with Chris last week. He was on the show after the event, and we talked about the players, and he complimented them on being smart and, you know, the kind of right attitude. And I just added, they're also funny. They give us great stories every week, or every time we do the show. And when Gabe Burkle was talking about getting three or four tight ends on the field at the same time, he gets kind of a spark in his eye and does the, hey, one of us might even line up behind center taking the snap. And I teased him a bit about that, like, okay, Coach Mauser will be here. Should we whisper something in his ear about you getting the opportunity to do that? And then he gets, you know, the eating kind of grin. I can't say it here, but he got one, and he's like, well, I'm not sure about that, because last year I had one chance to do it and I mishandled the snap. And it was, you know, self-deprecating humor. So I thought that was great. And it just leads to what you were talking about. Both the coaches and the players kind of in this kind of environment are putting themselves out there, opening themselves up a little bit in things that you wouldn't normally hear from them in a press conference setting, something like that. So every time we get one of those kind of stories, Mike, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to what we keep saying about these kids. It's like they're just more mature than you would think. You know, as you kind of talk through all the transitions, and they have very mature responses for what they had to deal with, and a lot of the things that they had to deal with, they had to make decisions really quick, and everything was happening fast. So you can only imagine when compensation and everything that is around the college landscape now for an 18 to 22, 23-year-old kid, that's got to be tough, right? Because it's just not a decision for you. It's a decision for their families, moving. Gabe Burkles has a wife. So there's just a lot of things that they had to go through in a small amount of time to get to this point where we feel we see them closely in these events. You know, we talked to a lot of people inside the building. I couldn't be more excited about this season. And just at that event, I was getting excited talking to you and some other guys and some of the support staff from the football program. And it's like, I feel like the national media, and it's the fault of where we're at as in a college world, that you have all these transfers every year, so you really don't know what you have. Right. A lot of the times, just even if you have the same coach, like you're still going to have a ton of turnover. And so you really it's hard to like really get a feel for what your team's going to be like next year. And now we have a new head coach. We have 40 plus new players. Right. I think we have a pretty good feel of these players and how they fit. Right. I couldn't be more excited, but I just don't think the common fan and the national media really understand. Right. You keep hearing that narrative. It's Iowa State guys. It's Iowa State. Yeah, they're pretty freaking good, too. These guys that we're bringing on board, plus the other guys that aren't just Iowa State guys, and then gelled with all the guys that stayed. It's really kind of remarkable to me. And, you know, I'm obviously a homer, but I truly feel that way. I'm really excited because and this is why I like it, too, though. Right, because I don't like when Penn State is like a front runner, right? I always like the underdog, and I feel like we're kind of an underdog from a national landscape. But to me, man, we got some dudes on this team. It's gonna be game by game, and I there's a couple quotes Coach Campbell and the team, or a couple of those guys that were on Big Ten Media Day said this week that were really promising for not just like the short term, but just long term culture. I thought those guys did well, and that just kind of piggybacks on what you were saying. Like our guys aren't really like robots. Yeah. You know, yes, they're very polite. They're going to say yes sir, no sir. But like you said, they're going to bring another element, and you're going to be able to figure a little bit about them because they'll open up and tell you a funny story or an experience that they had. And I think that makes these kids pretty special, and this team potentially really special when it comes to wins and losses, because that stuff goes a long way when you have a good culture and you have a lot of good kids and they're fighting for the same reason. So I could go on and on, Jim, about this team and how excited I am. I might eat it, but I honestly feel that way right now about this team.
And I'll tell you what, in doing, I love this opportunity that I've gotten through this, Mike, to talk to the players. And yes, it's we get to root for them, but I think the point you made about these aren't just some Iowa State players from a good but not great Big 12 program, which is the way I think a lot of people look at it. And they look at their record last year, they don't see that Iowa State was really affected by injuries last year. And some of these players, they're still working off it. And yeah, we got to chat to one of these players. Now, there's a lot of conversation about Marcus Neal, the defensive back, and he's going to be good. I think a lot of people have been sleeping on Jeremiah Cooper.
No question.
Because he had an ACL injury after four games last year. He is just now getting to the point of fully recovered. And I don't know if this was a little bit of news that we got when, you know, I asked him how healthy is he, where is he at in his rehab. He said he's hoping to be ready for Marshall, but if not then, probably game two. And it was, he said, I feel really good, but it's just now going through the football process, you know, doing those things. But I don't think people realize how talented this guy is. And he's also a great interview. And I don't want you to respond yet because we're running up against the break here. But I thought he was tremendous, the interview. I was real curious because reading his background and how well he played, some background at cornerback or safety. Then he moved to cornerback, now safety. He's got experience in both positions. I'm going to ask you about that, Mike, when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. With me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. He's also the brains behind HVU Insider, which is coming up with so many exciting things. You want to tell the folks just real quick a little bit about some of the stuff that's coming up? I know there's so much going on that you're going crazy juggling about 1,000 different balls that you're keeping up in the air.
Well, yeah, I'm trying, Jim. I appreciate you saying that. we're trying to just honestly bring a ton of substance to the members at Happy Valley United. I'm really making a strong push to try to bring in as many people like-minded to help, you know, strengthen that reach, strengthen what we're doing. So it provides something different for the fans. There's a lot of things out there for the consumer. And so what I've been really trying my best at is, you know, owning what we are able to provide when it comes to fan engagement, comes to scouting school message boards, comes to providing engagement with our Club 814 and our Letterman. We're about to roll out a ton of fan experiences via auctions and everything that we're doing. It's for NIL and our athletes. So that makes me proud and how we're doing it. It's things like this show that, you know, Jim, when I met you a year and a half ago, I would never thought we would have a show six shows deep, and it's doing well. And I'm excited about that going on. We're going to have a show going into the season that we're going to work on from week to week. You know, I have an alumni outreach, chapter outreach program that I'm starting on that I'm really excited about. I love interacting with alumni chapters. I love trying to give them updates and access to what we can provide. So that's been fun. We're about to roll out an initiative with the local bars and restaurants. We're going to do some initiatives with the student organizations once they get back on campus. Yeah, it's just a lot going on, but I think it's finally all coming together, and I'm excited to really kind of roll out a revamp of what Happy Valley United and Happy Valley or HVU Insider is. Just really excited because after a year and a half, you hear me on calls now too. It's like, I explain, like, it's just different here at Penn State. Like, Penn State fans, you know, whether they're given a $2 or $200,000, like, they want to know where the money's going. And so I think we're in a really good position that, you know, we're able to articulate all the different avenues that they can give. And that's just not Happy Valley United, right? That's the Nittany Lion Club. That's the quarterback club. That's the alumni association. That's all these different pockets. And what I hopefully can do is provide some transparency with that stuff and try to make it simple so they can understand, all right, well, and then I'll see, that sounds like a really cool program. All right, then I can connect them, or they know where to go because that's maybe the way that they want to go. Versus maybe they want to be part of the quarterback club because quarterback club has these really cool luncheons and among other things during the season. So there's just a lot, but we're all in this together during this crazy time. So I love to be able to kind of put it out there, get in front of my members and maybe hopefully future members and kind of just explain, hey, this is what we got going on. This is what we could probably provide, you know, at a paid membership. And if that makes sense, great. If not, what are you interested in? What do you want in return for your type of donations or whatever you give back? And I can route them that way. And that's kind of how I always see this thing. And I think you know me. That means a lot to me. I think this, I always say I'm not a Penn State because I didn't go here because I was too slow. But this community is great. Like, it truly is. It means a lot to me and my family. Second time here. So this task that I've taken on, it really means it a lot. And so I feel for the Penn State fans that are going through the transition of NIL. But hopefully I'm here to help kind of make them feel better about it, right? As I tell them, and I'm full transparent about the whole entire ecosystem. So I guess a long story short, that's like kind of that's what I got going on, Jim. And not to get on my soapbox, but I'm very proud and happy to be where we're at right now.
Well, a couple quick things. You may not have attended Penn State, but you are a Penn Stater. The second thing I know, because you've whispered in my ear a few of the things coming up, some of these events and opportunities for the fans to things that they wouldn't have been able to do otherwise and get a peek inside behind the curtain. So those are going to be a lot of fun this fall. Let's get back to our conversation. I just want to throw one last thing in. We were talking about Cooper Alexander, who started out as a safety at Iowa State, a very good one. Last year, he was asked to go help out play cornerback. He did for four games before tearing up a knee, an ACL injury. He's now back. He's going to be a safety at Penn State. And we got a chance to talk to him. But it reminded me, he's one of the players, he reminded me of what Derek Hoosier talked about, and the difference between Iowa State and say Ohio State, Alabama, or one of the differences is a three-star player gets an offer from Ohio State. Next thing you know, they're a four-star player. You know, it's almost like the cart goes before the horse. It's like, well, if Ohio State wants him, he's got to be better than a three-star. And Derek Hoosier essentially said, we get a player just like that, but because he's going to Iowa State, he doesn't all of a sudden become a four-star player. And so you the narrative, this is now Jim talking, I think the narrative is, oh, the coaching staff, Matt Campbell and his group, they coach up these players as if they're not very talented. You know, it's almost like damning with faint praise. But I think they're actually very good players who will get underrated because they were at Iowa State. I think, you know, that Cooper is one of those, Jeremiah Cooper is one of those guys that is not recognized by everybody, and he's a really good player.
Yeah. It's just funny. Maybe it's because it's slow, and you hear all these different narratives the past month and a half, and people just, there's nothing really to talk about. So every, like, little thing is magnified out there, especially in social media. Look at what Cignetti did. Right? Like, they're not – so Cignetti and Campbell, they're obviously different types of coaches. But when it comes to culture, man, well, I'm hearing a ton of, like, when I was on the road back and forth this weekend, I was like, man, this is, they kind of are this similar when they talk about culture, you know. And what was interesting, what I heard Cignetti say in a clip yesterday, was he was talking about how, you know, what is that game plan? Well, how does he restructure in Indiana? And what he said, he's like, well, really, that structure was built, you know, a long time ago when he was a head coach, you know, or a small school. Well, to me, that's like kind of like Matt Campbell at the same road. Like, he was a young head coach, was able to figure out, you know, stuff at a young age and see what was right and what made sense with him. And I think his culture is always going to be the culture, and his program and the way he runs things, it's already been set. So I don't think it's anything new. And then the similar thing with Cignetti, he brought a ton of JMU guys that first year, and they won 10-plus games and made it to the playoffs as the, you know, losingest team in the history of college football, right? And so you didn't really hear a lot about, oh, he's bringing a ton of the JMU guys. And that's probably because when he was hired, nobody expected him to do what he did, right? Here it's a little bit different because the expectations are different, right? So I get that. But it's the same thing. Like, he got the people. He has a blueprint of the type of kid he wants, right? And he gets that type of kid, and he's able to develop them into a really good football player. If not, you know, he has a ton of guys in the league from Iowa State too. Yeah. So I know that narrative is kind of off to me a little bit. Maybe it's fun to talk about, you know, the Iowa State guys. They're going to recruit the guys that Matt Campbell can win with here at Penn State.
And let's talk then. That's a good segue into some of the things Taylor Mauser said as offensive coordinator. We chatted with him, and he talked about if the kid comes in and the first thing he talks about is compensation, money's getting, he's probably not a kid that we want, is the way he put it. So they are bringing their people in, the kind of guys they want. And I think what Penn State fans look at that question and say, gee, that sounds really good. It seems to fit the old Penn State success with honor, the right character, the right kind of person, along with being the right players. The question is, can you win that way in today's college football? Will you get enough quality players that way to win the way a Penn State program wants to win?
Well, yeah, to me, it's like, yes, yes, yes. And your proof is Cignetti and what he did at Indiana. He brought in a bunch of guys, his culture, and he hit on the transfer portal for guys that made sense for him. They didn't have the biggest budget, you know, in the country. You know, they didn't have Texas Tech, Texas, Oregon money. And they won with culture. And I think that's what Matt Campbell is going to do here. Regardless if he's a 3, 4, 5 star, like, they're still going to have to abide and conform to the structure and the blueprint that Coach Campbell has established throughout the years. So that doesn't change. So I guess, like, to answer you, like, it's TBD, right? Like, so we're going to have to go through the season, see how these guys play. And like I said, I can't wait to see these guys play and kind of like play with like a chip on their shoulder, right? Like, being the bullies, right? I think after we recorded last week, I kind of talked about that. Like, I think Matt Campbell has like this very intense, focused kind of demeanor about himself. And I think that's going to really rub off and transition to how these guys play. Like, this guy is like intense. And I think you're going to see that. And these guys, like, our team isn't going to be bullied. Like, they're going to be the bullies. And I think that's going to be really good for us when it comes to recruiting, because that people want to play for those guys, right? Those intense guys that it's, they're ultra competitive, you know. And imagine Mauser, you're a top tight end in the country, and Mauser is recruiting you. You heard him. He's like young. Like, I would love to play with that guy. After talking,
I want to play tight end for him.
Yeah, he's just naturally going to be a really good recruiter, and that's great because he's our coordinator. So he can always come over the top and help any of the position coaches support staff.
All right, that's going to be it for quarter three. When we come back, lots more to go.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number four of our show. Mike, I want to switch over. I want to switch gears and talk about some of the things that are happening in college football right now, which is what we were planning on talking about today. But I got to make one last point, and I want to get your reaction to it. You talk about Indiana and Kurt Cignetti and the similarities with Matt Campbell, creating a culture and getting players to play to their peak abilities. But I think one of the things that gets lost in this, and this is just my take, is I think people don't understand. Cignetti brought in a bunch of people from James Madison, but those players were pretty good. And I think the perfect example to it is Fernando Mendoza, who he brought in. It wasn't like he was available in the portal, could have gone anywhere. I don't think, you know, Alabama's and Ohio State's or anybody else really went after him hard. Kurt Cignetti recognized the talent, and it wasn't like he brought him in and developed them for 3 years. Mendoza came right in for 1 year, took over, is a Heisman Trophy winner and the number one pick in the draft. And I think sometimes it's also about just plain recognizing talent. And at Iowa State, I don't think they were all just underdogs who overachieved. I think that they were some really good players, and nobody else just realized it, but Matt Campbell and his staff did.
I'm going to say it's again, not to bring up Indiana, but like that, what they did that first year, I remember being at another school, and you know, when a coaching change happens like that, especially at a school like JMU, a lot of those schools that or have more resources than them, they're going to go after that roster, right? And a lot of those guys had opportunities, just like a lot of these Iowa State guys could have probably gone anywhere, but they still came to Penn State. Just like back when Cignetti went to Indiana, a lot of those JMU kids could have gone anywhere. I remember trying to get a couple of them, especially a receiver, one of the receivers was a doggy, and come to find out, that kid, he didn't go with him. He ended up going to an SEC school, but there was some baggage there. And so, you know, looking back at it, like, okay, that kind of makes sense because he's a very cultured guy. So he didn't want to bring him. It's the same thing. Like these guys, Marcus Neal, Brommer, Burkle, like those guys could have Rocco Beck. Those guys could have went anywhere. But they trust, and you heard it in these interviews, like Gabe Burkle talked about how these guys recruited them. They're like family right now, right? Yeah. You know, he knows this staff, and it's the only staff he's known since the last 6 years, probably, ever since they started recruiting them. So he wanted to finish out with them, and it's like the same thing to me, what happened at Indiana. Now I hope same thing happens to us. We're 10 plus wins, like I've been saying, and we're in the playoffs. And who knows what? Hey, once you get in the playoffs, you never know.
Anything could happen. Let's move on. Let's get to some of these conversations we were supposed to have. There's been a bill going through Congress to fix college sports and especially focus on football, what's going on. The Big Ten Southeast Conference did not lend their support to it. Till this past week, Mike, it's a big boost. It actually has a chance to make it through. What happened? What were the changes that they made in that bill that all of a sudden the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference is supporting it?
Yeah, so it happened late Friday night, and then I woke up Saturday morning hearing about it, and then I'm trying to like figure out a little bit more about it, how it like affects things short term, long term. There's still a lot of things to get cleared about it, but it has, you know, I thought the one of the biggest things out of it that I see that is a huge issue that probably a lot of other people see, but they didn't talk about as much as the antitrust exemption and what that does. That allows the NCAA to make a ruling, or you know, they're not going to get sued, you know, every single time something happens, because all of the antitrust rules are different every state, and so that's been an unfair advantage. Obviously, it's been a loophole that some states have been able to take advantage of, and some others. So that's a huge ruling. The Lane Kiffin ruling, but you can't leave a school early. I like that. There's a bunch of things.
And then there's
$20.5 million rev, and then there's another $20 million for retention, and then another $5 million for Olympic sports. So it's going to be north of like $48 million total. So how that kind of works out long term, I'm curious. I think what they're trying to do too is with the third party money is trying to put some guardrails on that. But a lot of the stuff that they're talking about, like how collectives are, it's honestly how we are. We're almost like a marketing agency now, right? We're doing all these events, we're doing activations with these kids, so they can get, you know, money on top of their third party or on top of their rev share money. So they're doing events, they're making social posts, that type of stuff that has to go through the CSE and NIL go. So I think they're just trying to really kind of put down some more guardrails, so people aren't just, you know, warehousing, right? Like, all right, well, Playfly is going to sign me to X amount for future showings or future autograph signings or whatnot, and they don't show, right? It just never happens. Well, so I think that's part of, like, big picture what they're trying to get rid of, or some big donor coming in. But me, all right, so I'm usually an optimistic guy. Right, man, I'm always like half glass full. But when this thing's all said and done, like there's always going to be cheating in some loophole college football. It's funny, like on my way home from your house yesterday, I was listening to some national media talk about it, and I'm like, then what's going to happen? Then they're just going to go back to under the table stuff that, you know, before NIL came. So it's, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope there's more clarity with this bill that would, what I really, really, really want is contract transparency, a legitimate cap. But like what is market value on, you know, quarterbacks? What is market value on running backs and throughout the roster? And how you figure out real market value is there's transparency. Well, if there's a cap, well, just like the NFL, everybody's contract is broken down, right? And then that helps, you know, the Derek Hoosiers of the world go into negotiations fairly with an agent or somebody that says, well, hey, such and such is offering me this or that. Well, they already have what that current market value is, so they at least have a baseline to go off of and not just like hearsay from an agent. That's just one example. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are going to come out of this. So when I was looking it up to figure out some more information about this, a lot of stuff was coming out Friday about how it's not going to happen. Like prior to the SEC and the Big Ten saying, hey, we support this. So even Pete Thamel, I think, was on Pat McAfee's show and was saying, yeah, this doesn't look good. It doesn't look promising. And then if it doesn't get passed now, then it's never going to get passed, right? Because Congress or whatever, they go on recess.
They go on break, yeah.
They go recess for a month. Pat McAfee kind of makes fun of it. It was pretty funny. and then they have to campaign, right? And so
midterms are coming up.
Yeah, they don't, this isn't going to be a big thing. So it's the, and it still doesn't have, it's still not a 100% for sure thing. I think it, they vote this week, either Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, they're trying to get it out this week. And, you know, my couple thoughts on it is that raising the amount, like they could get $20 million out legally now, direct payments. We've known about that. And I think when they did that, they were saying, well, gee, maybe because you're getting $20 million legally, it'll lessen the other stuff going on. Well, it really did. I think now they're, okay, now that we raised it to over $40 million, that will lessen how much of outside money, because the money's coming from somewhere, from donors, or, and are we kind of finally hitting the sweet spot where if they're getting four, maybe supporters of the program who are now doing it as part of NIL, hey, it's going to the school, it's kind of regulated, maybe they're hitting that right number where there won't, there always will be people breaking the rules or bending them. Maybe there'll be less of that. The other thing, point I wanted to make was, you talked about the antitrust exemption is, and I'm one of those people who says less government is better. Why is the government sticking their nose into this? Well, the problem is, over the last couple of years, maybe not the legislative or the executive branch, but the judicial, either from federal or actually more locally, they've been sticking their nose in it. That's why, you know, the NCAA is making rules, and as you put, someone just goes to court, sues them, and wins every time because it's a local biased homer judge doing that. Just like now there's this, the NCAA came up, hey, 5 years to play five seasons. And now there's a ruling. Or any player who expired their eligibility, well, they're not going to be allowed to come back, which is just going to wreak havoc. I think this would also prevent that from happening so much, Mike.
Yeah, so not only do they rush and then get that the support statement from the SEC and Big Ten to move it forward to where it's at now, late Friday, right? Don't they always talk about putting out like press like Friday?
Yeah.
Much buzz. So they do that, and then on top of that, they made the ruling that any class of 2022 that hasn't used 5 years and only used their 4 years will have another year of eligibility. One, I feel like that's fair when they initially came out with the rule, but the timing isn't fair. Like this is it's crazy. And I think I told you I wanted to text Hoosier and be like, man, bro, I don't know how you do it. Because he's sitting, like, August right now, all personnel, front office, support staff, they're about to go to Nashville for their convention. This is the time, August, where they get ready, they get settled for the season. Everything that they're doing in this convention is huge. Everybody that's in as a support staff will be there. But then this hits. So now you got to, well, who am I looking? Is there a 2022 that can help us get us over the hump and win games? You know, like you have to look at that, but is it real?
Yep. And you know what? As bad as it is for football, it'll be worse for basketball. Hey, that's going to have to be it, Mike. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider. Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.